You please turn with me to John chapter 14. What is truth? We're coming into the Easter season, which is just 4 weeks away from today. When Christ stood before Pilate, as Mike read earlier, he says, "Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice." And Pilate's response was this question: what is truth? That's a question that's been asked by mankind, I suppose, ever since the Garden of Eden. What is truth? And though it's been thousands of years since the Garden of Eden, man still hasn't come up with an answer. Not an answer on their own. In fact, we're getting further and further away from an answer. If you want to see how loose people are with the truth, just watch the presidential debates. That's a fun exercise, isn't it? In fact, last week I saw an interview with Hillary, and she was specifically asked, "Have you ever lied?" You know what her answer was? No. She seriously said, "No, I've never lied." Please. Now, whether you think I'm being partisan, Donald Trump says he's never had to ask God for forgiveness. There are two front runners for president, by the way. Romans chapter 3 and verse 4 says, "Let God be true and every man a liar." Christ says in John chapter 14, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." This morning we look at that statement, "I am the truth." What was Christ saying when he makes that claim, "I am the truth"? And notice, he does say the truth, not a truth. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning that we are able to come together to worship you as a body in Christ. We are privileged to be able to open your word together and to study together, to grow together, to understand your truth together, and to apply that truth to our lives. May we be an encouragement to one another in that application. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I again remind you of the setting of John chapter 14. We looked last week at that claim of Christ, "I am the way," in verse 6 of John 14. And in this context, we are the night before the crucifixion. Chapters 13 through 18 of John is all the night before his crucifixion. In chapter 19 of John, Christ is nailed to the cross for our sins. And so we're in this context, the night before the crucifixion. And Christ says, "I am the way." And we looked at that last week, where he is the way to the Father. He's the way to the Father's house, where he is going to prepare a place for us. So he is the way to the Father and to the Father's house and to the place that Christ has prepared for us. And I believe verses 1 through 5 really address what Christ meant when he said, "I am the way," and we looked at that last week. But now we come to "I am the truth." And I believe verses 7 through 11 really address what Christ meant when he said, "I am the truth." So verses 1 through 5 addressing "I am the way," verses 7 through 11 addressing what he means when he says, "I am the truth." Follow as I read verses 6 through 11. "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And if you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it will suffice us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been such a long time with you, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how do you say then, show us the Father. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me. He does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Christ, in essence, in these verses, is claiming to be God. And when he says, I am the truth, he is claiming to be God. That question, what is truth? And I believe Scripture is very clear. Truth is what God is, what God says, and what God does. That's truth. What God is, what God says, and what God does is truth. In Psalm 31, we read that he is the God of truth. In Psalm 119, it refers to God's word of truth. In Psalm 111, all God's works are truth and are done in truth. Truth is what God is, what God says, and what God does. In verses 7 through 11, Christ goes on to show how he is the same as the Father. In essence, in his nature, he is the same as the Father. Therefore, if the Father is truth, I am the truth. So that's what we have in this context. Christ declares, I am the truth, and he is declaring to be God himself. Because only God is the truth. When Christ said, I am the truth, he was claiming to be God. Now notice, what is God? Truth is what God is, but what is God? He doesn't just speak the truth. He doesn't just do the truth, he is the truth. What does that mean? What it means is that he in his very nature is truth. In his very essence, he is truth. In his very being, he is truth. No one else can claim that. Oh, you may speak the truth from time to time. You may do the truth from time to time, but you cannot claim to be the truth. Because that is not our nature. But God in his very nature, in his very essence, in his very being is the truth. There is nothing false in him. There is nothing hypocritical in him. There's nothing phony in him. He doesn't pretend. He is the truth. There's nothing deceptive in him. In his very essence, he is the truth. It's impossible for him to do anything, to say anything other than the truth because his very nature is truth. He doesn't just speak it. He doesn't just do it. By his very nature, he is truth. Compare that to man. Scripture tells us that man is born a sinner. By our very nature, we are sinners. And because that is our nature, that's how we're born. Now, once we trust Christ as Savior, that's something different, but we're born sinners. We are born with a sin nature. And because we have a sin nature, we cannot keep from sinning. We will sin. Why? Because we are sinners by our very nature. So man, by his very nature, is a sinner and cannot keep from sinning. God, on the other hand, by his very nature, he is truth and he cannot keep from truthing. I know, I made up a word. Actually, I didn't make that up. But in the Greek, they actually have a word that means truthing. And it's used in Scripture. What it means is simply, yes, God is truth. He speaks the truth. He does the truth. He lives the truth. He in his being is the truth. He truths all the time because that's his nature. Man is a sinner born with a sin nature, and they can't keep from sinning, but God in his very nature is truth, and he can't keep from truthing. He can't keep from speaking it. He can't keep from doing it. He can't keep from living it. He can't keep from being it. He is the truth. Satan, on the other hand, in John 8, verse 44, Christ says, there is no truth in him. There is no truth in him. God is truth. There is no truth in Satan. Now, if God is truth, and Christ is claiming here to be truth, then he obviously is claiming to be God. And so he goes on then in these verses 7 through 11 to show that he is indeed God. Notice he says in verse 7, if you had known me, you should have known my Father. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. It says, if you know me, you know the Father. In fact, you have seen the Father. Now Philip, of course, is kind of confused by that, and he says, well, just show us the Father, and it'll be satisfactory, it'll suffice. We'll be satisfied. Just show us the Father. Philip wants a theophany. He wants an actual visible appearance of God the Father. And he says, if you just show us God the Father in an actual physical appearance, then that'll be enough. That'll suffice. And Christ says to Philip, Philip, have you been so long with me and you still don't get it? If you've seen me, you have seen the Father. I am the visible manifestation of the Father. Now, how could Christ say that? He could only say that because he is God. He is the very nature of God, the very essence of God, the very being of God. He and the Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I am the visible manifestation of the Father because we are one in essence. We are one in nature. Obviously, that gets into the whole area of the Trinity, which we can't fully comprehend. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three persons, one God in nature, one God in essence. And Christ says, I am the truth because I am God. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We are one in nature, one in essence. I'm not going to take the time to turn to these passages, but in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15, we read that Christ is the image of the invisible God. The image of the invisible God. Does that seem like a contradiction to you? If I were to ask you to make or draw an image of the invisible God, what would you draw? He's invisible. There isn't any image to draw. There isn't any image to make. He's invisible. How do you have an image of an invisible God? You know, that's why the second of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Why? Because there is no image of God. The minute you try to make an image of God, you have just brought God down to man's level. If you try to make an image of God in any way, you have devalued God, because God is so far above anything we could ever imagine, anything we could ever think, anything we could ever see. He's so far above that any image we try to make, we devalue him. So he says, don't even try to make an image of me. When God did appear in the Old Testament in a visible manifestation, he appeared in a cloud and a pillar of fire. Think about that. Fire really doesn't have a set image, does it? You know, you build a fire and there's flames just going and coming and out and up and in, and there's no visible image as such. It doesn't make a form. or a cloud. You know, you may look up at a cloud and say, man, that looks like an elephant, and then 5 minutes later, it doesn't look like an elephant. A cloud is always changing, always moving. And so he came and manifested himself as a pillar of fire and as a cloud because it's always changing, and you can't really make an image of it. And yet it says Christ is the image of the invisible God. The word image used in Colossians chapter 1 is not that which we would think of as an image in the sense of a graven image or a drawing. It's the word that means nature or essence or being. He is the nature. He is the essence of the invisible God. He is the very being of the invisible God. Paul in Colossians chapter 1 is declaring the deity of Christ. He is God. He is the very nature of God. In Hebrews chapter 1, we have the expression that Christ is the exact impress of his nature, or perhaps your translation says he is the express image of his person. He is the exact impress of his nature. The word impress there is the idea of a die or a mold that you press down into the metal. That's how they used to make coins. They'd press this die down into the metal, and whatever image was on the die would be put onto the metal. And it would be an exact impress of the die. And so the writer of Hebrews, trying to describe this Trinity that's hard to comprehend, and how Jesus is God and God the Father is God, he says Jesus is the exact impress of his nature. He is God. The very nature and essence of God, the very being of God. And that's why Jesus can say here, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because we are one in nature. And since we are one in nature and God is truth, I am the truth. I'm the truth because I am God, and God is truth. Truth is what God is. Truth is what God says. He does indeed speak the truth. God the Father speaks the truth, and Christ speaks the truth because they are one in nature, and they both speak the same words. Notice what he says in verse 10. Do not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me. The Father and the Son both speak the same words because they are of the same essence, they are of the same being, they are of the same nature, they are both God, and they are both going to say the exact same thing. Truth. They're going to speak the truth. Christ spoke only the words of the Father, and the words of the Father are only truth. And my battery must have died because it's not going. There it is. Christ spoke only the words of the Father. And the words of the Father are only truth. Again, comparing to what Christ said of Satan in John chapter 4, or rather John chapter 8, verse 44. He says of Satan, he is a liar and the father of it. Christ and the Father speak the same truth. Satan is a liar and the father of it. And then that verse we quoted earlier, God is true, but every man a liar. Every man a liar. There is only one person who has lived on this earth that can claim that he never lied, and that's Jesus Christ. Because he is the truth. He speaks only the truth, the same as God the Father would speak only the truth. To reject God's word, which is truth, is to reject God, who is truth. If you reject any part of this word, you are rejecting God. That may sound harsh. That may sound like I'm stretching things. But if God is truth, and he speaks only truth, then to reject anything that he has spoken is to reject him, because both are truth. If we reject any part of this word, we are rejecting God. We're rejecting Christ. Not only is God the truth, not only does he speak the truth, but truth is also what God does. Christ only does the works of the Father, and the works of the Father are only truth. Notice what he says. In verse 10, he says, "The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works." The works that I do and the works of the Father are one, because we are of the same nature and essence. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. If you don't believe my words, believe my works. They are both truth. And the words that I speak are the same that the Father speaks, and the works that I do are the same that the Father does, because they are the truth. Satan is always doing that which deceives and leads us into that which is false. God is always doing what is true and leads into that which is truth. Because he is truth, he can do no other. He can only lead into truth by his words and by his works. Whatever Christ does, whatever God does, it's not underhanded. It's not deceptive. It's not trying to fool us. It's not unfair. It's not unjust. It is truth. Sometimes I think when we get into some difficult circumstances and maybe we've made some choices and we really tried to determine God's will, and then we made some choices, and I think sometimes we get in our mind that God fooled us. God deceived us. In fact, Jeremiah in the Old Testament, the prophet, at one point, he said, "You've deceived me." Obviously, later on, he realized that wasn't true. But I think sometimes when we get into difficult circumstances, and maybe it's because of a decision we made, and when we made the decision, we thought we were doing the right thing, and then we conclude, "God deceived me." God will never deceive. He'll never try to fool us. He'll always do that which will lead us in truth, because he does the truth. Now, when we speak of the truth, we are talking about a standard. God, Christ, is the standard for truth. As I said earlier, he is not a truth. He is the truth. There is only one standard of truth, and that truth is absolute. It doesn't change with time. It doesn't change with circumstances. He is the absolute standard for truth that never changes. The truth. What he says is truth. What he does is truth. Who he is truth. It will not change. It is absolute. That doesn't sit well in our postmodern society. In our postmodern society, we as man want to determine what is truth. We as man want to say what is truth. We want to be the standard for truth. And we don't want anything outside of ourselves to set that standard. And we want to set a standard for truth, and we want to determine what is truth, and we want to reserve the right to change it according to the circumstance, according to the times. In Hebrews chapter 13, we read of Christ that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he is the truth, then the truth is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If it was true yesterday, it's true today, it'll be true tomorrow. It cannot change. Because Christ cannot change, and he is the truth cannot change. As I said, that doesn't sit well in our postmodern society. Man believes that each individual can be their own standard of truth and reserve the right to change that truth when they so choose. We are really messed up when it comes to the truth in our society today. Everyone believes that they as an individual can determine their own truth, and people accept that. Have you ever shared the gospel with someone and their response is basically, well, that's your truth, but it's not my truth. Well, how can it be truth for one person and not another? Because in their mind, truth is not absolute. There's no absolute standard for truth. Truth is just whatever you as an individual determine it is. And what you determine is truth for you might not be truth for someone else. You can have two different truths. Even though those two different truths are polar opposites of each other, in the postmodern mind, they're both truth. Christ says, I am the truth. It's absolute. He's the standard. It does not change. In fact, when it comes to whether a person lies or not anymore, it's not what we used to think it was. Now, if whatever I say advances my cause, if it advances what I think is truth, then it's truth. It's not a lie. From your viewpoint, it might look like a lie, but as long as it's advancing my cause, it's not a lie. That's why someone can say, I've never lied, because everything they've said is always advancing their own cause. We're really messed up. We're really confused when it comes to the truth. We live in what we call a pluralistic society. What we used to mean by that is that everyone has the right, everyone has the freedom to believe whatever they want to believe. That used to be what pluralism was. We would live together even though we believed different things. And we had a right to believe different things. You had a right to believe what you wanted to believe, and I have a right to believe what I want to believe. But you know what pluralism means today? Not just everybody has a right to believe what they want to believe, but everybody believes what they want to believe, and they're right. You might believe something different than I do, but you're right and I'm right. It might be totally opposite, but we're still both right. Still both truth. We're really messed up. Today in pluralism, it means that you can be a Muslim, I can be a Christian, you can be a Hindu, someone can be a Buddhist. They're all right. It's all truth. Even though those various religions say totally opposite of each other. Christ says, I am the truth. Not a truth among many truths. I am the truth. What God has said in the past is right, is still right today. What he has said in the past is sin, is still sin today. And we as Christians can get pretty messed up in that as well. When we see the society around us calling evil good and good evil, we can fall into that and not even realize it sometimes. The standard of what is right and the standard of what is sin is changing in our world today. And sometimes we as Christians are changing with it. As if somehow God's standard of truth has changed. Somehow God is changing with the times. And God said that sex before marriage was sin. It was sin in the past, and it's still sin today, and it'll be sin in the future. When God said adultery was sin, it was sin in the past, it's still sin today, and it'll be sin in the future. When God said something was immodest, it was immodest in the past, and it's immodest today, and it'll be immodest in the future. You know, modesty, the standard of modesty has certainly changed, hasn't it? Did God change? The church, and I speak of the church in general, has in many cases accepted the idea that living together before marriage and having sex before marriage is just the times. And we have to accept the times. That's just the way it is. And God has changed his truth. He's changed his standard. It's okay today because that's just the society today. Christ said, I am the truth. The absolute standard of truth, and it does not change. He says, I am the way, meaning there is no other way. And he says, I am the truth, meaning there is no other truth. When he says, I am the way to the Father and to the Father's house and to the place that I prepared for you, he means he is the only way. There aren't many ways. Some say, well, I'll get there by my works. And some say, I'll get there by following this man or this man or this person. Christ says, no, there's only one way. I am the way, and it's through faith in me. And Christ says, I am the truth, and there's only one truth, and that's me. And the truth is, there is a heaven, and there is a hell. And there is only one way to that heaven. That's the truth. And that way to heaven is through faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. There is no other truth. There is no other way. And that's not going to change simply because we as man don't like it. I am the way. I am the truth. What will you do with the truth this morning? Will you accept the truth that He is the way? Will you accept the truth which He has spoken? Every single word, unchanging and unchangeable. He is truth. He speaks the truth. He does the truth. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we're so grateful this morning that you are very clear in your word. As we said before, there's really no wiggle room when it comes to the truth. You are not a God who negotiates with man. You're not a God who changes with the whims of man. You're not a God who changes simply because society changes. Your truth remains forever and ever. Help us to believe that truth, to accept that truth, to live that truth. It's in Jesus' name we pray.